Hello, welcome back to THC. I'm Kimmy.
And I'm Kelsey, and we smoke and talk about true crime and conspiracies and other fun, weird things.
So if that's what you're into, you can subscribe and give us a little rating and a little review and tell all your friends about us so more people can listen to us.
You can follow us on social media at Truly High Crime. You can follow me at Kelsey Follis.
And you can follow me at Kimmy Grace 420. I forgot it for a second. I blanked.
I love that. That's, I kind of didn't notice that was your username.
I actually just changed it. It was Kimmy Grace 4000 for a second. Like, that was it for a long time. Mm-hmm. Before that, it's always been Kimmy Grace something. But now I'm like 420 is my vibes. So
yeah, true.
I'm being my real self on social media.
Yeah, it's nice to finally, like, I feel like I'm finally, like, fine posting publicly about, like, weed. Like, I can, like, tweet a weed joke and I'm fine.
Yeah, it's just, like, different. Like, I think we talked about this last week. Like, I don't want to work somewhere that wouldn't hire me because of something like that. Like,
yeah.
If that means that I have to get a job serving or, like, do like DoorDash or something, then that's what I'll do. Like, like, eventually I want to end up moving and working like with weed and shit, so this is helping my career in the long run.
Dad.
How are you? How's life been?
I always like
that's my ringtone.
Oh my god, what is that?
It's Leslie Jordan.
I got so scared.
He's an actor. He always just be like, well, shit, what y'all do? And so I bought the ringtone. It was deep in quarantine. I was depressed. I put it on silent. Anyway, how are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm trying to like watch more movies and like stuff like that when I'm like just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched 500 Days of Summer for the first time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And also BlacKkKlansman.
Oh, that's it for the first time?
Mm-hmm.
What a great movie.
Oh my god, the ending, like, truly, like, I had to, like, try, like, not, like, it was like, shocking.
It was just, like, it hit you. It was so powerful. It was really well done. Mm-hmm. It was a great movie. You just now saw 500 Days of Summer for the first time?
Yeah, oh my god. I tweeted about this, too, because, okay, if I had watched it when I was, like, 14, 15, whatever, like, seeing Tom, like, that character, that would have been so unhealthy for me.
Yeah.
So, like, love that because, like, I just, like...
That's how... I think that's literally, like, I would see, like, screen caps of that movie on Tumblr and be like, yes.
This is perfect.
This is so healthy and amazing. This is what I want.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I needed that when I was 15. What was I gonna say? Oh, the show that you told me about, that you replied my Instagram story. What was it called?
Hamilton's Pharmacopoeia.
Yes, tell me about it. Because I Googled it, but then I was like, no, I'd rather just hear you tell me about it.
Oh my god, okay. This is, like, probably, like, one of my favorite shows ever. So, this guy named Hamilton, he's a chemist. He's a chemist and a journalist. And he, like, just honestly, like, travels around literally, like, the world and gets to, like, know the... like different like psychedelic drugs. So like there's episodes on like salvia, like mushrooms. There's this one about this toad's venom that like squirts, like, and it's like if you smoke it, like you're gonna trip.
That's so crazy. Cool. Does he do them or does he just like study other people doing them?
He does do them sometimes.
That's
and
so
when
cool.
He does, it's like so fun when he's like part of the experience.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely gonna watch that because I'm gonna be literally just laying on the couch for a couple days.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Yeah. Need to be operated on. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I get a couple days to just sleep and watch TV and read because I just started reading again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, like, am excited to keep reading. Like, I'm in that, like, zone now. So I got, like, a couple books. I just went for it.
I need to, like, get back. I, like, always go to the library and they just, like, sit there in my room. And I never read them. But what did you get? What books do you like?
I like a lot of books, but I'm learning that I like murder mysteries a lot. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I read The Woman in the Window, the movie that just came out. That's terrible. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard it's fucking terrible. I read that a couple years ago and I was like, it was a page turner. Like, I could not stop. And that was the first book in a while that I'd read that I was like, damn, this is really fucking good. And I liked like Pretty Little Liars growing up. I read all of those books and stuff. But the one that I just read is called I think it's called, like, The Truth About Keeping Secrets or something like that. I read it in one day. It was so fucking good. I literally was just, like, I could not stop. It was just about, like, grief and trauma and, like, sexuality and, like, finding yourself. And she was in high school. I wish there were more coming-of-age books that were, took place in college.
Yeah,
or, like, at least in your early 20s. Because that's when you actually, like, come of age. Or at least you start to come of age. But, no, it was really good. That's my only complaint, was that the main character was a little too young. But it was a good book. Do you like to read?
I do. I like random books. Like, I like kind of, like, sometimes like classics. Like, I'm a Catcher in the Rye person. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm reading, like, Kurt Vonnegut and stuff. But I also like books on, like, drugs, too. Mm-hmm. Like, things like that in, like, pharmaceutical industries and, like, just things like that. Like, drug industry things. Because I think I really... I like reading about it, and I really think I like, did I say reading or writing? Whichever one. I like both. Okay. Yeah. And I want to write about it, so I'm like, maybe I should just, like, listen and learn more.
Yeah. I always, like, feel, like, 10 times smarter as a person whenever I'm reading. Like, even if it's a fiction book, like, I just feel smarter when I'm, like, processing words. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I feel like I can actually form sentences sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, cool. I don't know how to say that. Okay, we're talking about reading and shit.
Yeah, then I started thinking about the Bible.
I don't even know, because I've never read anything. I've never read the Bible.
I, like, have sometimes, but, like, I, like, don't know what to say about it. It's just, like...
When I was in high school, we had to do, like, a... And we had to, like, write down everything in literature that, like, gets referenced back to the Bible.
Oh, my God.
And I was, like... This is, for one thing, this is public school. Why are we doing this? For another, what's going on? Like, I don't understand the Bible at all. There's something about, like, a bush catching on fire. And, like there's just weird stuff. I'm like, I have no fucking idea. Like, I am not religious at all. Did not do good on that assignment. But somebody who did know a lot about the Bible was Phoenix Colden, who we are talking today. She went missing, who we are talking today, who we are talking about today. She went missing in 2011. She grew up in a very religious family, and she started her day on December 18th, 2011, pretty normally. It was a Sunday. And so she went to church with her mom, Goldia, in the morning. And Goldia noted that Phoenix sat two pews behind her, and she was like, she's far away from me. And at that time, she didn't think anything of it. So like I said, she grew up in a very, like, religious family. She had a really, really strict family upbringing. We're gonna get more into, like, the rules that she had to follow later. They're fucking insane. I have a lot of digressions about this case and about, like, the things we're gonna talk about, but we'll get there. So Phoenix was 23 years old at this point. She is a woman. She's not a child. And just a little bit about her past and, like, her upbringing. She was homeschooled since she was in the sixth grade. Her mom homeschooled her, and she had friends, like, they lived in the neighborhood, but she wasn't allowed to see them really. The only times they could hang out was on Phoenix's front porch. Like, Phoenix was never really allowed to leave her front porch. She just lived a really sheltered life, and, like, whatever her mom wanted her to know is what her mom told her, and that was it. So then she went away to college, which there's, like, this pipeline of, like, very sheltered lifestyle. You get to college, you go insane.
Yeah, that's really true.
Like, it's just, like, you're like, holy fuck, the world is actually real. Like, there are things happening out there. And that's exactly what happened to Phoenix. She went to the University of Missouri, St. Louis, which I think I forgot to mention, but she did live in St. Louis. Like, her family lives in St. Louis, but she went away and, like, lived on her own. And she was living with a female friend, is what her mom thought. And her mom signed a lease for this apartment and paid the rent and was like, yep, my daughter is living with a female friend. We'll get back to that later. A little bit about Phoenix. She was just, like, one of those people that, like, you always hear about going missing. Like, she was smart. She was well-liked. She was just, like, a really well-rounded person. You can tell I was high as shit when I was taking notes because, in all caps, a fencer, you know, like, fencing.
No, I love that. That's dope as shit.
Like, she fenced. Like, that's so, like, oh, like, different and, like, just bad bitch energy. Mm-hmm. I love her. And she was just gorgeous. She was all the things, like I said, that, like, missing people are, but she really did just, like, light up a room and, like, she just had a really good energy about her, but she was also very naive from her upbringing. And she was just kind of, like, immature before she went to college, and she didn't really have any way to see the way that the real world worked. Like, everything that she knew was what her mom told her. So, college became a crazy time for her, but we'll get back to that. So, back to that day in December. After church, Goldia and Phoenix stopped at a grocery store. This is when I spelled store, like, S-T-O-O-R, and I was like, Stuart, what the fuck is wrong? I could not figure it out. I literally stared at it for like 30 seconds. And then I got home. So they get home and Phoenix was just like kind of living life. She went outside and she was like playing basketball, living life. And Goldia had remembered and she was like, wow, like this is really nice. I feel like my daughter's young again. Like, where's the time gone? She's a full adult out there playing basketball. So then Phoenix got in her car, which apparently was normal for her to get into her car and make phone calls. Which, like, to me, it's, like, immediately alarm bells. Why is she hiding in her car to make phone calls, you know? And that'll come up later. But to Goldia and her dad, Lawrence, it was no big deal at all. Like, it was just normal for them. Now, at this point, there's a little bit of a conflicting timeline. A couple, like, different sources report different things. But her dad, Lawrence, claims that she left at 3 p.m. and she didn't say a word. She just, like, rushed past him, left, didn't say a thing, and pulled out the driveway, and she was never seen again. But then, a couple years later, another witness came forward. It was Phoenix's best friend's mom, says that she had talked to Phoenix, like, really briefly while she had been pulling out of the neighborhood around 4:30 or 5 that same day. So, it's either she was leaving at 3 or she was leaving at 4:30 or 4:45. So, those are, like, really different times. I don't really know. Maybe Phoenix just pulled away from her family's house or something? I don't know. Maybe it never happened. I don't know. Maybe he just had the wrong time. But either way, that was the last time that she was ever seen or heard from again. There was no movement on her social media at all. There was nothing from her bank accounts after that. She never withdrew any money or made any purchases, and her phone records completely stopped. Her parents were, like, obviously worried because they were like, one, they had rules. She was supposed to be home at that point. And two, they were like, she never leaves without telling us where she's going, and we have no idea where she is. And she's not answering her phone.
So they called the police
the next morning, like when they hadn't heard from her, and they were like, something's wrong. Like, our daughter should be back. But the police were like, I don't know. She's an adult. Like, she left on her own. And they kind of make a point because she did leave on her own.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she left on her own. There's not any conflicting evidence that she didn't leave on her own. It's just weird that she hasn't been back. So it's like, I'm not like siding with the cops, but at this instance, I see why they're like, I don't know, she just left. Like, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, because like last week, no one knows because like nobody was there. No one saw it happen. Right. I understand that. Yeah.
So Goldia, her mom, was like, that's not how we do things here. Like, we have a really strict household. I think her exact quote she said was, I don't know what wolves raised you, but that's not how we do things here. So that's just a little taste of Goldia. I have a lot of thoughts about Goldia. We'll get more into them throughout the whole episode. But this episode, or this case, Phoenix's case, did not get coverage at all. And Goldia did a really, I mean, she, like, emptied her life savings trying to get coverage and try to get somebody to talk about Phoenix's case. And because she was never heard from, there was no evidence that they knew of for a little while that we'll get to. But there was nothing, like, and nobody would cover it. So a lot of the information that we're talking about in this episode comes from the Oxygen documentary. I said Oxygen funny. The Oxygen documentary. it's called The Disappearance of Phoenix Colden, and it aired in 2018. And it's honestly just the most recent and up-to-date information. Her case didn't get a lot of coverage to begin with, and in this documentary, they kind of uncover that a lot of the information that was initially reported wasn't exactly true. So this kind of might sound like a retelling of the episode or of the documentary, because that's kind of what it is. I also, of course, did, like, outside and other research, so I'm not just, like, relying on Oxygen. But a lot of it comes from the documentary, and like a lot of this is exactly like Goldia's words and like the investigator's words, because it's from the documentary, just so you guys know. While they were investigating, the local police didn't really keep Phoenix's family in the loop, because they did say they were looking, but they didn't really have anything to look for or like any leads of where to look, so it was just kind of like difficult for them. And they never took it seriously. Like, no matter what Goldia and Lawrence said, they were like, she just left on her own. And that's why, that's where I get pissed, because like, they're telling you that something's wrong, so you need to pay attention to it. Like, I understand that a 23-year-old can't just leave, but it's also to a point where it's like, no, she hasn't been back. Nobody's heard from her.
Yeah.
Like, you got to pay attention to this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So Phoenix's parents, like I said, they took it upon themselves to pitch it to the media and try to get coverage, but nobody cared. Except for a beautiful woman who I love with all my heart. Her name is Chandrea Thomas. She's a local journalist from St. Louis. I could not remember the name of the city. She's a local journalist from St. Louis. She's amazing. She is a Black journalist. And she, I mean, her quote, she said, it's up to us as journalists to bring up the stories of people in color and explain why it's so important. And I'm like, that's true, Chandrea, but I wish that you didn't have to do that. And I wish that, like, we just would cover, like, people of color's missing cases and not have to, like, beg the people of color to be like, hey, cover this.
Yeah.
Like, kind of, it's just, like, my take on it. But she's just an amazing journalist. So she covered it locally, like, when it was happening. And she was the only journalist to really do anything about it. And then she was also in the Oxygen documentary as well. So she worked with a retired chief of police who worked in the area. His name was Joe Delia. He's just like he's a character. Like, he's just a funny guy. And they investigated the case together. And that's pretty much what the Oxygen documentary is. But this wasn't until 2017 or 2018. A couple hours after Phoenix was last seen, her SUV was actually found abandoned in the crime-ridden areas of East St. Louis, which was about 30 minutes from her house. Where her car was reportedly found in the traffic lane on, with a driver's side door open and all of her things inside of it. So this is like immediately like, okay, alarm bells are going off. Things don't look right. But they found her car a couple of hours after she went missing. Why didn't they tell anybody? Phoenix's parents didn't find out that they found her car for 2 weeks.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. It's just so fucked up. Like, 2 weeks. Because the cop who saw it and the police said that they didn't think that it looked like a crime. He said it looked like somebody's car ran out of gas. And so they just impounded the car. And that was it.
Why would the door be open? Like, and like her stuff.
Right. So it just seems like really suspicious. Like, things just aren't. Her parents are pissed, rightfully so. Like, mm-hmm. Everybody's like, why didn't you tell us about this? Like, yeah. But here's there's a little bit of confusing geography in this case, because the police departments were in two different states. Because St. Louis is in Missouri, which is where Phoenix lives. And then East St. Louis is in Illinois, which is where Phoenix's car was found. So it's right, like, directly over state lines. Like, it's not far, but it's two different police departments. It's two different jurisdictions. So, mm-hmm. like, they don't really communicate that much because they're shitty. And it just fell through the cracks. Like, yeah. It's so shitty. So 2 weeks after Phoenix went missing, her parents find out about her car. They're pissed. And Goldia says that there is no way that her daughter, Phoenix, was in that quote-unquote crime-ridden, dirty area of East St. Louis. She was like, there's no way that Phoenix would be there. She has no reason to be there at all. And so there are theories about her car and, like, how it was found. Immediately, people were like, okay, well, it looks like she was pulled from her car. Like, if that's what it looked like, if all of her stuff was still in there, her car was on, her driver's door was open, she was snatched from her car and she was maybe, like, sold into sex trafficking. That was, like, the immediate theory. Because she was found right next to the sex trafficking superhighway of the United States.
Mm.
Why the fuck is there a sex trafficking superhighway of the United States? Why is it called that? Just,
oh my God.
You know, like, if you know that that's a sex trafficking area, then put people there to fix it until it's not a sex trafficking area.
Seriously, that would be horrifying having to drive through that.
Yeah.
So wait. Is, like, Toledo connected to that somehow?
Yeah, okay. I think so. Because I was going to say, I think I have in there, like, it's similar to Toledo. It's, like, one of the top 5 cities of violence, top cities of, like, sex trafficking and stuff. So it wasn't that, like, outlandish for them to be like, she just got snatched. Like, it wasn't that crazy of a thought.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so, like, infuriating. Yeah. Like, why does that exist?
Yeah.
I hate it. But people were like, I don't think Phoenix is really, like, the type to be a victim to sex trafficking because she has a stable life and a background. And usually it's, like, a stable life and a stable background. And it's usually people who are, like, really vulnerable or people who are, like, dependent on drugs who are then, like, promised drugs or, like, promised something that they need. And Phoenix wasn't in that position. Like, she was financially supported. She was not on drugs. Like, she wasn't in that super vulnerable position. At least that we knew of. But people were still saying, like, why would she be in that area on her own? Like, what was she doing to get herself into that area? So people were also saying that maybe she ran away on her own and she just left her car and she just wanted to disappear. And then there was also a theory that maybe she was snatched and murdered. But a body was never found. So that's not, people don't think that's what happened. Most investigators think she's alive somewhere. And the cops never told anybody that they impounded her car, so they missed those 48 hours. Again, the most important parts of the investigation of trying to figure out where she was. Her car looked like she had been ripped out of it, so it was like, I don't know, but did she really have that supportive background that everybody thinks that she has? Because I and others have conflicting feelings. We are going to take a quick smoke break and just ponder on that thought for a quick second. So, Chandrea, the journalist, and Joe, the cop, go talk to the cop who found Phoenix's car. And they did this for the first time while they were shooting the documentary in like 2017, 2018. So it's been a couple years. I don't know math, but Phoenix disappeared in 2011, at the end of 2011. It's been a couple years. So they go, and he says to him that the car just looked like it ran out of gas. Like, to him, it just looked like he ran out of gas. He saw that it was an out-of-state license plate, so he was like, okay, well, I'll just look. And he said nothing looked like out of place. There was nothing suspicious. He really just thought it was a car that ran out of gas, so he just had it impounded. And, like, that was it. Like, he didn't have any other question about it. And he ran the plates. He made sure it wasn't stolen and whatever, and had it towed. So you might be thinking, as my notes say, you can tell I was high. You might be thinking, Kimmy, didn't you say the car was on? Why doesn't he just check the gas gauge? The car was, in fact, not running when he found it. And the keys were not in the car. None of her stuff was in the car because the car was off. The lights were off. Her things were gone. The door was shut. Contrary to what we've heard before. So for all of these years, 7 years, Chandrea has been reporting that the car was on, that the door was open, and that things were left in the car as if Phoenix had just been snatched out of the car. Goldia, Phoenix's mom, is the one who told her this. So she just went off of the word of Goldia, which, as a journalist, probably not what you should do. Mm-hmm. I think you maybe should check with the police and just make sure that that's how it was found. I can understand, like, you'd think you have no reason to believe that Goldia would lie about mm-hmm. the way that the car was found. So they go to Goldia, and they're like, why did you hear, like, where did you hear that the doors were open? Why did you tell us this? And they're like, I don't remember where I heard that. Maybe I read it somewhere. I don't know. Like, this is a huge deal. Like, this changes everything. And in the documentary, it was fucking crazy to watch because Goldia acts like it's nothing. And, like, it really changes the entire trajectory of the case because for 7 years, they've believed that she was snatched. Like, that was what the evidence looked like. And to Chandrea and Joe, it was like, oh my God, this girl was obviously snatched out of her car. Like, we need to work on this and fight it. But now, if it just looks like her car was shut, locked, nothing was in it, and just abandoned, that doesn't seem as suspicious anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, what the hell? Where did the parents come up with this? Like, what the fuck is going on? Chandrea is like, clearly she wasn't kidnapped. This doesn't look like a kidnapping anymore. There are no signs of foul play at all. And so they're kind of just thinking, like, what else are Goldia and Lawrence willing to say or like lie or bend the truth about. Like, it just kind of like took a big switch right there 7 years after she went missing. So then there was just like a whole bunch of like, that's kind of when people stopped reporting on the case. Most of what you find on this is still says that, like what we heard at first, it still says that there was, her door was open, her car was on and everything, when that's not the truth. So Goldia shows Jandrea and Joe what was in the backseat of Phoenix's car when they got that back 2 weeks after she went missing. And it was just like normal stuff that's thrown in the backseat of a car, like CDs and lotion and shit like that. But then there was also a phone bill. And very casually, Goldia was like, oh yeah, that's something from the phone company. And Joe, the cop, was like, is this a phone bill? Because wasn't Phoenix on your T-Mobile plan? And Goldia was like, yeah, we had a family plan, of course. Like, why would I not get my family the family plan, you little bitch, was like her vibe. And Joe was like, this is a T-Mobile bill that like went into collections. And Goldia was like, that's not our account. Phoenix has a secret phone. What was she hiding? Like, what's going on, girl? So this whole thing is like completely switches the gear of everything, because it's like, okay, well, we've thought for this long that like she's just a sweet innocent young girl who doesn't have that much going on, but now she's got a secret phone, she's got like, her car wasn't in weird conditions, like what else is going on here? Mm-hmm. The retired cop and Chandrea were like, shit ain't right here. They learned from Phoenix's childhood friend Tim Baker, who was this sweet, sweet gay man, and he said that he came out in high school and Phoenix was the only person who would accept him. Like, he was like, she was the only person he could go to, and like, oh, Phoenix, I love you. Like, yeah. That is just like heartbreaking and heartwarming at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, that she was that for him. But this is when we also learn that Phoenix did not enroll in her last semester of college. So the fall semester of 2011 that she went missing, she was not enrolled in classes, even though she told her family that she was.
Hmm.
Yeah. Girly, what are you hiding? There are things that we don't know about you, Phoenix. And she just has a lot more secrets than we can even imagine. But she also told Tim and her family and her other best friend, Akira, that she was enrolled in classes. Like, she also told her best friends. Like, it wasn't something she was only keeping from her family. But Tim knew about both phones, and he said that she did this to make sure that her parents couldn't see who she was calling on the phone bill, because she has a boyfriend named Michael. And so Chandrea and Joe were like, oh, who the fuck is Michael? Like, we don't know anything about this. It was Phoenix's secret boyfriend who she was living with. That female friend that she moved in with and that Goldia pays for. Oh, Phoenix. She's a little finesser.
I kind of love it.
I know.
And it just makes me really wonder what else she... Because literally, it's also like going back to like that religion thing and like sheltering children. Like, if they... The more you do that, the more they're going to like... Not necessarily act out, but like, they're still gonna search that shit out.
They're gonna do something that is wrong, quote unquote, like that they know their parents would approve of, and then feel like they're stuck, and like then they have something that they have to hide from their parents, and mm-hmm. it just becomes like a really rough, tense relationship. Like, I feel like any parent who's super strict doesn't have a good relationship with their kids, because the kids feel like they have to go behind their back.
Yeah.
So now they are trying to hunt down this boyfriend, Michael, just to kind of see what he knows. And they don't have the records to her mystery phone, but they do have the records on the family plan. And they saw that she called Michael really regularly off of her phone that her parents knew about. So they thought that was like kind of weird. So it was like, if she's calling Michael off of her regular phone, who is she calling off of her secret phone? Mm-hmm. Like, what else do you have back there, girly? And Michael and Phoenix had actually talked on the phone for 116 minutes the night before Phoenix disappeared. That's a long phone call.
Yeah.
But he claims that he did not remember what they talked about.
Fucking what? The whole time?
Yep.
That's insane.
You know that Justin Bieber interview where he's like, I don't recall? Like, when he's in court. I don't recall.
Yes.
That was pretty much Michael. And Goldia says that, like, she knew about Michael. She just didn't like him, so she didn't think it was important to bring him up. And she says, quote, "The boyfriend she had is not what we would have approved of." And to that I said, ma'am, your daughter is 23. Like, you kind of have to let her have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
That you're not going to approve of.
It's really weird to me that, like, she's like, oh, yeah, I know him. And, like, she's never brought him up before. Right. Like, why not? Like, I feel like I would think about every single person. Like, if you don't like him, why? And why wouldn't you think he's...
I have so... I just opened my mouth to talk and yawned. I have so many digressions about her. Mm-hmm. Because I get it. Like, you're a grieving parent. Like, you just want your daughter to come home. And, like, you miss your daughter. And, like, if you don't think that she ran away, Goldia seems to just not believe that she ran away. And so she wants justice for her daughter. Like, if I had a kid, I would probably be doing the exact same thing. But it's also, like, you have to take a step back. Like, mm-hmm. you have to, like, maybe sometimes realize, oh, I'm the problem. Like, you have to have that revelation every once in a while. And I don't think Goldia ever had that revelation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She, Shondrea and Joe tried to talk to Michael, but he just wasn't interested in it. But then they talked to the police and they said that he was the most cooperative person in the investigation and that they had no suspicion in him at all. So I kind of think he just didn't want to be involved because he's like, this happened years ago. I'm like trying to move on from it. It was a hard time. Like, mm-hmm. that's just kind of the vibes that I got from it, at least. So they move on from Michael and they talk to Phoenix's neighbor and her best friend, Akira Hogan. Akira had a really, really hard time losing Phoenix. Like, in the documentary, she was broken. Like, you could just tell, like, something. And she even said, like, half of me is gone. Like, I could not imagine my best friend just disappearing and having no idea that she was going through something before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, it's just heartbreaking. So, Akira says that she was never able to hang out with Phoenix if it wasn't on her own front porch. And her mom was, quote, strict, 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 and incredibly overprotective. She says that Goldia thought that she was a bad influence on Phoenix, so they weren't allowed to see each other, really. Goldia later said in an interview, not an exact quote because I didn't write it down, but she just said something along the lines of, Phoenix looked for friends that looked like her, that had the same color of skin as her, and not for what their heart was, and I think that got her in a lot of trouble. And I think there's a lot to unpack in that because... why do you think that her wanting friends that are also black is the reason she got herself in trouble? It sounded, especially when she said it, it just sounded off. I was like, Goldia, what do you have to unpack?
Yeah, very true.
Yeah. I just, like, part of me is like, girl, I want to shake you. And then part of me is like, girl, I want to give you a hug. Like, mm-hmm. I can tell she's not had an easy life. Akira also tells us that Phoenix hated her homeschooling, which is, like, understandable. Like, she wanted to just live a normal life. She wanted to go to prom. She wanted to go to high school. She wanted to, like, just be a normal kid. And she didn't ever get that opportunity. And Akira said that she just kind of really started changing in the couple months before she went missing because she was always irritated. And she felt like somebody was watching her. She was always arguing with her parents, according to Akira. And Phoenix just got extremely paranoid. And she was always saying, like, people are after me. Somebody's after me. Like, they're going to get me. Somebody's, like, watching me. And Akira would be like, girl, who? Like, who's watching you? Like, what's going on? And Akira, like, hypothesized that Goldia would, like, scare Phoenix so much into not going out and to, like, the world outside that she would say, like, there are people who are watching you. There are bad people out there. And that would drive Phoenix to be, like, super paranoid mm-hmm. and just think that there were always people around watching her and, like, out to get her. Mm-hmm. Or it could have been that she lived a secret life and there were people out to get her.
Yeah, because that makes me think about, like, the phone again. Like, who is on the phone?
Who are you talking to?
And, like, who, like, is who? Ah, that's really scary.
I know.
That's one of my biggest fears. Like someone calling you randomly.
Yeah.
I can't even say it. Like, I can't even say it.
Do you want to hear about this crazy recurring dream that I've had?
Yes.
Okay, I haven't had it in years. I had it when I was, like, this is going to make me sound fucking insane. Like, you're going to be like, what is going on in your brain? But I had a dream one night that a man came into my room and it felt real. Like, I think it was a little bit of, like, a lucid dream because it really did feel like somebody came into my room. And he was like, hey, I've been stalking you for your entire life. I know everything about you. And now you have to kill everybody you love. And I'm going to come with you and watch you do it.
What?
It was fucking insane. And so, like, I had three people that I could choose to kill by lethal injection so they wouldn't get hurt. And I chose my mom, Taylor Swift, and my sister.
Taylor Swift. Yes.
Like, it was the most insane dream. And I would have it, like, not every night, but, like, at least once a week for, like, a couple years. And it really was just going around the world to all the people that I cared about and killing them.
Oh, my God. That's horrifying. Yeah. I hate, like, lately I've been having dreams where it takes place in the same setting.
Mm-hmm.
And that really, like, makes me uneasy.
Dreams are,
like... that's like a real setting that's like establishing in my it's really scary to me.
It is scary. Dreams are insane. Like, how do our brains do that?
Mm-hmm.
I hope we are alive on the day that you can, like, project your dreams
or, yeah,
like, wash them
back. Oh my God. Yes.
Anyway, back from the dream tangent. Phoenix was incredibly paranoid. And Chandrea uncovers what is now known as what they call the selfie video of Phoenix. And she looks troubled. She is in a car, and, like, filming herself, and she's talking, and she looks so worried. She looks, like, nervous, and here's just some things that she says. I just want to start over. I just feel like I can't start the new me over. People don't give a fuck. I don't know. I've got to see things for what they are. I want to be happy, man. I can't remember a time when I was happy. I want people to take me seriously. Lord, please help me accept the things I won't change, and I won't change the things I can't change.
That's really scary, and it's just making me think that, like, she not, like, necessarily, like, was driven to insanity, but, like, kind of something like that, like, where she's, like, or honestly, maybe she just, like, actually, I'll wait and see what I think at the end.
Yeah, to finish that she thought. Was just struggling. Like, mm-hmm. She was clearly... going through it. Like, there was, whether it was her mom, hair just went in my mouth, whether it was her mom or something else, like, that we just don't know about, something was, like, really on her mind. Like, she was really struggling. And then there was, like, some unclear audio that they got cleaned up, and it said, I just want to be happy, man. I feel so stupid because I let myself go a little bit. It probably would have been a better situation if I would have stayed with how it used to be. The only person who won't let me down is me.
That is a little... What's the situation?
I know.
Like, it makes me think about Michael just because of their 116-minute conversation.
I know. Me too. It makes me just think that... I don't know. Like, she clearly had other shit happening that, like, mm-hmm. nobody knew about. Like, she wasn't even telling her best friend that she wasn't at college. What else was she not telling her best friend?
Yeah.
Like... I think there was just a lot that maybe she got to college and then was like, holy shit, I can do whatever I want, and did not go down the right path, and then got herself into some trouble and was stuck. Like, I don't know. Like, I literally have no idea. And that's the thing about this case, is that nobody does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no answers at all. So, good luck sleeping. This video was from November 15th, 2011, which was only about a month before she went missing. So... something was not right in her life right before she disappeared, and we are gonna take a smoke break.
If you've been wanting to treat yourself to that new piece or bong or whatever you want to say, now's the time.
And we can give you 20% off your entire purchase at isellglass.shop using the offer code TrulyHighCrime at checkout.
They have a wide variety of really cute bongs and smoking accessories.
But of course, these pieces are for legal substances only, and you have to be at least 18 or of legal age to smoke in your area.
So go to isellglass.shop and get 20% off your entire purchase with offer code TRULYHIGHCRIME.
So Chandraya and Joe go back to Akira with this video, and Akira tells them that Goldia didn't like Akira, which we know, and she didn't let Phoenix stay out after 1 a.m., which they were like, she's an adult, and Akira was like, I know. Like, girl, I know. Like, for some reason, they just will not let her do anything. And Akira watched a selfie video, and she was just, like, broken. Like, she was like, why did Phoenix not come to me about this? Like, we were best friends. Why did she not feel like she could talk to me about this? And it was so sad to watch. And Akira says that she thinks that she went away, but she doesn't know if she's still alive. So that was like an interesting take. And then she gives us this bombshell that Phoenix wanted to break up with her boyfriend, Michael, because she was also dating another guy named Michael.
No fucking way. Yes. Oh my God.
We're going to call him Mike. So okay. The first boyfriend is Michael and the second boyfriend is Mike, just to keep that straight. But they were together at the same time. Mm-hmm. She was dating both of them. Imagine having to keep that straight.
Yeah, like, what if she used her second phone to call the other Michael?
That's exactly what she did.
No way, yes.
Yeah, that's what her other phone was for. Because Michael, this Mike-ass bitch, Mike worked at T-Mobile, and he hooked her up with that free second phone. So you can tell the future. And he got her this phone so that she doesn't get confused between her different boyfriends, which is just really nice and considerate of him, I think. And so she had one phone for Michael and her family, and then she had another phone for Mike. Phoenix is full of surprises. Love her. So they look around for Mike, they reach out to him, they get no response, and they're thinking that maybe he's somebody dangerous, yada, yada, yada. They hunt him down for all this shit, whatever, and they find him and he says, talk to my lawyer. They talk to his lawyer and his lawyer's like, you can talk to Mike. I don't care if you talk to Mike. And so it was just like a long thing that didn't have to be, but Mike didn't want to talk. But they did talk to Mike's ex-girlfriend who a year before, who actually around the same time that Phoenix went missing, she claimed and like filed a report that she was abused by Mike physically and verbally. So it's kind of like, fuck Mike.
Mm-hmm.
She also said that she saw Mike like researching missing persons cases around the time that Phoenix went missing, and he was researching Phoenix's case a lot, which if Google searches get people arrested, I am going to hell and going to rot in jail for the rest of my life. So like, I don't want to just like assume based mm-hmm. on that, because like, I get it. Like if he was just interested in it, but then his ex-girlfriend was like, why are you looking into her case so much? Like, she was, like, looking, like, asking him. And he said to her that he had had sex with Phoenix before, so he was, like, connected to her. And then his ex got jealous of, like, Phoenix, even though she's, like, a missing girl. So, like, it's just, like, girly. but Mike said, when his girlfriend got jealous, Mike said, why are you worried about someone who's dead?
Ew.
Yeah. But there's no evidence that she's dead. There's no, he won't talk, but he, like, isn't a suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Her body has never been found. None of her stuff has ever been found. Like, there's nothing saying that she's dead.
Yeah, I'm wondering if he's just saying, or if he just said that because that's what he believes.
Right. Like, that's kind of what I am leaning towards, but it's still a weird thing to say. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, definitely fucking weird. There was a reported sighting of Phoenix on a flight home from Las Vegas by, like, an old church friend named Kelly, who claimed to see her boarding the plane. So Kelly was already seated, and Phoenix was getting on the plane. So you know how, like, you're sitting and then there's people coming towards you. And she saw somebody who looked exactly like Phoenix, and so she was like, Phoenix? And apparently this person who looked exactly like Phoenix, like instinctively turned, like how when you hear somebody say your name. And then she was like, oh, do I look like someone? And Kelly was like, yeah, you look like my friend Phoenix. And Phoenix was like, oh, and just like turned around and left. And then when Kelly got off the plane, she was like, I think there was a missing person on my plane. Like, you guys need to go check that out. But she was nowhere to be found. She said that she was with a group of other, like, beautiful black women who were, like, dressed up, like, gorgeous. Like, they were just, like, beautiful women who looked like they had high status. And then they were also with, like, a couple huge men who she said they looked like football players. I feel like whenever white women see a big black man, they're like, oh, a football player.
True.
Like, I don't know. Like, they were probably, like, they could have just been, like, big black men. Literally, like, yeah, like, crazy how that can happen. But, yeah, they searched, the police searched when she got off the plane, but they didn't find anything. And Kelly says that she is 90% confident that she saw Phoenix that day.
That's insane to me. And, like, just the, like, I really believe it. I really do. Because especially if she, like, went like this and she goes, oh, do I look like someone? Mm-hmm. What the fuck?
Like, that's probably what I would have said, too. I could not imagine the way her heart was racing.
That's true, yeah.
Like, I think it was her. I personally do. Just because, like you said, it, the instinctive look. Like, you don't do that unless that's actually your name. Mm-hmm. And, like, she might not even go by that name anymore. She could have been so surprised to, like, hear that.
Yeah.
And, like, so she was probably like, what the hell? Like, who's calling for me? Mm-hmm. Like, that just, it gives me the heebie-jeebies because, like, where did she go? She must have booked it off that fucking
yeah,
plane.
Like, true.
Ugh, girl. Good for you. So, now they have this information, and Chandra and Joe are, like, looking back into the sex trafficking theory because she was with, like, she was dressed really well, and she was with men, and they were like, maybe those were her pimps. Mm-hmm. And so they just looked into it, and they talked to a sex trafficking survivor, and they actually learned that it's not always the, like, drug-addicted, low-status women who get pulled into drug, or pulled into sex trafficking, and a lot of times it is women who have, like, that who are really overprotected and who don't have a lot of, like, freedoms because they can be promised freedom somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So they give the, she gives this scenario that Phoenix maybe wanted to get away from the sheltered life that she had with her parents, and she didn't really need to be convinced to leave. She just needed a way to do it. So if maybe, like, Mike or somebody else, like Michael, either one, was like, hey, I could give you this life that you want. Like, we could, like, maybe, like, I could give you freedom or financial support, and you can not be under the wings of your parents. And it kind of just gives her the thought that, like, if I pass on this, I would really be missing something. So she doesn't want to lose the opportunity. And so maybe she just goes, and then instead of having that free life, she gets pimped out mm-hmm. and sold into sex trafficking.
Yeah.
So that's actually how it goes a lot. It's kind of, she described it as a slow grooming and then a quick grab. And I don't know, like, if it were Mike or Michael, I don't know, like, if she had something else that she was doing as well. Like, mm-hmm. neither of her ex-boyfriends seem suspicious to me. I don't know why, they just don't, like, I don't get weird vibes from either of them, really. Mm-hmm. But her parents are extremely conservative and religious, and, like, she literally was not even allowed to date. Like, she wasn't allowed to have a boyfriend. So she would be so ashamed to go to her parents if she were doing something that they would be, that she might be doing if she were sold into sex trafficking, or if she became a sex worker because she had to pay her bills. Like, she could never feel like she could go to her parents about that mm-hmm. because they wouldn't accept her, or she would feel like they wouldn't accept her. So it's kind of crazy, the things that you force down your kids' throats when they're young. The sex trafficking survivor, this is a quote from her. She said, all it takes is one act that's seen shameful by your family, and then they have you because they'll hold it against you. So all Phoenix would have to do is one thing, like, literally maybe just like, be a sex worker one time or something like that, and then they'll be like, oh, well, now we have that, and we'll tell your parents if you ever try to go back to them. There was just a little butterfly outside the window.
Aww.
It was so cute. So Phoenix was probably very easily manipulated because she was so naive and mm-hmm. she didn't know that much about the world. So I definitely see this as a possibility as well, just because she was naive. And Goldia had rules, and here's just some of them. In their house, it was God first, family second. You sit up straight. And a lady doesn't cross her legs because you're exposing too much of your private areas. You don't be loud. You don't be vulgar. You don't curse. You neat. You be neat. You be discreet and ladylike because that's what you are.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Me either. My notes say that right there is why she ran away or was susceptible to becoming a victim.
Yeah, sitting up straight, I'm like, fuck, you got me.
I know, I'm literally, like, slouched over this table. I know, it's so, like, the be ladylike, don't be loud, don't be vulgar, be neat, like, don't cross your legs, like, and Goldie was like, some people might say that's controlling, but we're just looking out for what's best for our daughter. Like, do you not realize what you're doing?
Yeah.
it just breaks my heart. Like, the poor girl, like, that's, she wanted to just get away, and I don't blame her. Like, that really sucks. Leslie Shipman, who was a friend of Phoenix's in college, they found her, and she said that Phoenix was really smart, but Phoenix was also wanting a way out, and she knew that, and she could tell. She told Chandrea and Joe that Phoenix had run away from home a couple years before she went missing, which was, like, brand new news to them. And they were like, okay, why? And she was like, well, she wouldn't stop fighting with Goldia. Her and Goldia were fighting all the time. So Phoenix would leave and disappear and not talk to her for months and then come back like nothing happened. And they were like, okay, well, that's huge.
Yeah.
Like, if she's done this before,
she always had enough.
Yeah, like, she knew she could do it, so why would she not do it forever? A quote from Leslie that kind of, like, stuck with me, she said, when your world is so small and you want out so bad, you're almost looking for an out. You can be smart and desperate at the same time and make some really bad decisions. That's very true. I was like, girl, you're right. So then Chandrea and Joe bring this up to Goldia and Lawrence, and Goldia immediately was like, no, that's not true. That's a lie. That never happened. Like, denies it, flat out says, she literally says, that's a bald-faced lie.
Girl, come on. It's just, and honestly, it just, like, again, going back to the religion thing, it's just, like, I feel like it's just, like, them denying.
They, like, want to have that perfect family. Like, they want to look like there's nothing wrong. And, like, her friend has no reason to make that up at all. None. Like, there's no reason that she would ever, like, there's no motive for her to make it up. So it's, like, it's just... Yeah. And then Goldia just starts dropping bombs. And she says that they knew about the selfie video, but they never gave it to the police. And they were like, we literally have no idea what she's talking about in this video. What did she want to get away from? Why is she so scared? What is she hiding from? Like, you cannot be that blind. And the entire time, her dad, Lawrence, was, like, quiet and just kind of looking around. Like, he was in on it. Like, he could tell exactly what was happening. And she also says that she doesn't believe that Phoenix walked away. And Joe asked Lawrence, like, Joe asked her dad if he believed the same. And before he could even answer, Goldia was like, nope. Like, just answered right before him. And then he eventually did say no, but she answered before he even could.
Oh, my God.
And, like, she's just in this deep denial that Phoenix was upset about anything in their family, their relationship, or anything. Like, it was hard. It's, like, so heartbreaking to see because... You can tell there was turmoil. There was tension in the family. And Goldia just will not talk about it. And you need to talk about it. But they did give the video, the selfie video, to their private investigator that they never told Chandrea and Joe about. So, what, like, don't you think this would have been good information to have for the people who are investigating your daughter's case? Like... I just want to slam my head.
I just don't understand their, like, mindset ever. Like, do you want your daughter to be found or not?
Literally. Like, it's that simple. Like, all you have to do is lay out all the information, but that is not what Goldia wants to do. So, we meet their PEI. PEI. Dave Foster. No, not Dave Foster. That's it. That's funny as fuck. We meet their PEI, Steve Foster. And he has been working on this case since... February of 2012, 2 months after Phoenix went missing.
Okay.
Yup. He doesn't think the human trafficking theory is likely because even though she had that, like, strict overprotective mom, she also had friends and, like, a support system, and she was a smart girl. So he doesn't really think that she was that desperate to get out. Like, but Steve does think that Phoenix voluntarily left on her own. So it makes sense that Phoenix's parents didn't tell Chandrea about this. And he thinks this because of how she would fight with her parents, but he also found out that there was a safe in the house that Phoenix was taking bonds out of. They were bonds in her own name. Like, she had the right to them. She found them in the safe and, like, started taking them and cashing them a year, like, before she even disappeared. And she was just putting that cash to the side.
Wow. Interesting.
Yep. And she also found in this safe a fucking... birth certificate with her name on it, except not her last name. She has two birth certificates because her mom had her as a single mother. She was actually born as Phoenix Reeves. And then Goldia then married Lawrence, and Lawrence adopted Phoenix, and Phoenix took his last name and became Phoenix Holden.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So it's not clear whether or not Phoenix knew that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if Phoenix knew that Lawrence wasn't her dad, but it was like a big bombshell for, obviously, for Chandrea and Joe, because they were like, well, what the fuck, this is huge, like, she could be living under this other name now. So they look up the name Phoenix Reeves, and there are only four living in the United States. Four. Like, four. And all of them are obviously not her, except for one of them. There's one that has no family, no social security number, no anything, except for an address that was only, like, that was only there for a couple weeks, from January of 2012, a few weeks after she went missing, until June of 2012. The address was in Alaska, so Joe goes, and Chandrea's like, I'm fucking staying back, because this one's not for me, like, and Joe goes, and there's nothing, shocker. They go to the address, and they're like, no, I don't know a Phoenix Reeves or a Phoenix Colden, like, I lived in this house for, like, 20 years or something like that, and nobody has gone by that name here. So my prediction is that Phoenix just opened up that name under some random fucking address in Alaska, or maybe that woman, like, let her stay there or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I think that definitely Phoenix is out there somewhere, because that's really it. But they wrap this up. They wrap up the Oxygen documentary by talking to Goldia and Lawrence and telling them that they think that Phoenix left because of how overbearing they were. And a quote from Goldia: do you really think I would tell you everything that I saw in my daughter? Well, you fucking should.
What does that mean? Ew.
Yeah, she said that she saw things that she knew were warning signs, but she just said, do you really think I would tell you everything I saw in my daughter? Like, do you want them to find her?
Yeah. I understand, like, maybe if you don't want to tell. Well, the thing is, the other journalists were doing the documentary. Like, I would get if you don't want that to be public, but, like, just tell the cops.
You can't. How much shame? That's the other thing about religious people, is they have a lot of shame. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you so ashamed of the fights you might have had with your daughter? Like, you have to be honest in order to find her. Like, we need to figure this shit out so that we can find her. So if you were fighting, tell us why. Tell us what you were fighting about. Even if she did run away, let's find her, make sure she's okay, and let her be on her own. Mm-hmm. Like, if that's what she wants. I don't know. That's not my opinion. I don't think we should find her. But if that's what her mom needs, then that's what her mom needs. But
yeah, I feel like it should have been, like, a wake-up call to be, like, if she, like, started to, like, even if she, like, admitted it and kept it to herself that, like, she was the problem, like, it should have, like, at least been a wake-up call to, like, something's wrong with our daughter. Like, we need, like, to help her with any sense. Like, not even just finding her, but, like, whenever, if, like, they got her back.
Like, yeah. Like, that. How can you see that video of your daughter and think, like, I have no idea?
Yeah. Like, literally, that's alarming.
That was a woman in distress. She was terrified. And clearly of what was happening with her parents. And how could you think, I have nothing to do with this. Yeah. You know? Like, how can you just not internally reflect, like, maybe this has to do with me? Like, it's just crazy that people don't have that.
Yeah.
What do you think? Where do you think she is?
I don't know. Honestly, I wouldn't even be surprised if, like, a complete, like, name identity change goes somewhere with Mike or Michael, or even just alone, literally. I think she honestly just went away. And I don't blame her.
Same. I think she's by herself. I don't think Mike or Michael are involved. I think they might know. Yeah. And I think they might care and love her enough to just keep it a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are also some of Phoenix's other best friends did not want to talk to the police or to the journalists. So that leads me to think that they just might have something they don't want to talk about. Like,
yeah.
They know where she is. They don't need to find her. They are at peace with the fact that she's living a better life somewhere else. Like, I agree with you. I think she probably just did a whole identity change and is living better.
Yeah. And I respect it.
Same. I love it for her. Let us know what you guys think or where you think she is. Because I just love hearing what people think. Because everybody has different theories. It's so cool. There's really, like, I looked on Reddit. There's not even much. Like, a lot of people just think she ran away. Most people fall under the sex trafficking or she ran away theory. Mm-hmm. But most people think she ran away. But I'd love to hear everybody else's thoughts. Have a great Pride Month. To all of the LGBTs. I was fucking, where was I? I was at Giant Eagle yesterday. It was so funny. The like speaker system was like, this June, we honor our LGBT plus community. I was like, oh my God, it was so funny.
I love corporate. Corporate pride. It's so like embarrassing for them.
It really is. Especially now that people are finally like realizing it's not real. Mm-hmm. Like people are finally like, wait, this is fake. Love it. Yeah. Don't fall for corporations this Pride Month. Just have a great time. Be you. Be LGBT. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.